Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to the Drop the Needle podcast, your backstage pass to the corporate jungle. I'm your host, Jim Allstott, and here, industry titans step up to the mic, sharing their epic journeys. We're hitting the high notes and the low notes of their careers, creating a symphony of success. This isn't just another interview show. It's where truth bombs are dropped and secrets are revealed. So grab your conductor's baton, because who knows, this just might help you compose the next huge hit of your career. Are you ready? Let's go. No chair dancing today. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Drop the Needle podcast. I am your host, Jim Allstott, and I'm so happy y'all decided to join us. We just completed part three of our three-part series of Coming Out of the Spiritual Closet with our special guest, Irene Doresti, which was a lot of fun and provided everyone with perhaps some new insights and, at the very least, a new way to look at things happening in their lives, right? And if you didn't listen to part one, two, or three, shame on you. Shame on you, for shame. No, I'm just kidding. It's not too late for you to download the episodes and enjoy them. You just have to go to dtnpodcast.podbean.com, where you'll find a link to like, follow, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Okay. So now that we're out of the spiritual closet, what's next? Well, I decided it would be a good idea to bring in Irene to discuss the so what, now what situation from our previous episodes. And it's also a situation that some of us might be in, right? So again, before I get going, a little background on our guest. Irene is an RN who worked at Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in the neurology and orthopedics department. She's a Reiki master, an integrated energy practitioner, and a spiritual medium. She's also the owner and founder of Soul Surgery Life Coaching. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please join me in welcoming back Irene Doresti. Welcome back, Irene.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning to everybody. I feel like it's graduation day. I feel like we're out of the yes. closet. We made it. Woo-hoo. We made it. Yeah. So celebrating you that have followed us for the last three episodes. I hope that you got some great takeaways and starting to see your life in a little bit of a different perspective.
Excellent. And, you know what? That's... I hope that too. I hope somebody got something out of it, because it was really cool. And what I'd like to do is maybe just do a little recap and kind of go through what transpired in those three parts series, or the different sections that we did. Okay, so in part one, we covered intuition and energy. And energy and intuition touched on vibrations, frequencies, and ways to elevate our frequencies, which included meditation. In part two, we covered signs and synchronicities, where Irene actually went through a meditation with us called the Five Senses Check-In, which gave us an example of how to quiet our minds and really get back into the present moment. And of course, signs and what those signs might look like. For instance, dreams, reoccurring numbers, songs, or situations, reoccurring situations. Cardinals, that was another one. Butterflies, license plates. And Irene also shared her story about the yellow balloon when she was on her retreat in Sedona, which was very cool. In part three, we had angels and guides, and we covered the archangels, spirit, and spirit guides. We also had a special treat of a card reading. So, what I feel is a natural question, or the big question, is how do we put it all together and take the first steps to opening ourselves up to intuition, signs, spirit guides, and angels, or simply maybe just clearing away all that chatter that prevents us from being present and seeing what's really going on. So, Irene, why don't we go this way? Why don't you take it from here for a little bit and let's talk about that. How do we get started on it?
Okay, so the way I start to, after these three episodes, what I was thinking of, now that we're out of the spiritual closet, like, what do we do with it, right? Now, once you know something, you can't unknow something. So we want to get curious and start asking the universe for signs and synchronicities and see what comes back to you, right? But if there's one takeaway from anything, is start to practice living in the present moment, right? That's where it all starts, is coming back to the present moment, coming back to your breath. That's where, you know, your peace lives. So it's rest and reset, like we said, with our nervous system. So if we have a mind, we have a body, but what we are, our souls living a human experience. Now we can like see things from a different perspective. Now we're not just human running on the hamster wheel of life. We're going to start to separate out. Like, remember what I was saying is that start being the observer of your thoughts, start paying attention. How do you speak to yourself? What are those thoughts telling you every single day? And then be the interruption. The second awareness is, what is your body telling you? Right? Start, you know, tuning in, right? And not, and seeing, you know, where do you feel tension in your body? Where is, you know, what is your nervous system trying to tell you? And then watch those thoughts fire as soon as you have that feeling. So now you're observing yourself almost under the microscope, right? Without judgment, we're just going, oh shit, isn't that interesting? My body is, you know, feeling tense today, or somebody just said something to me and I feel triggered. And then watch those negative thoughts loops start firing. And you're like, oh, isn't that interesting? And then you become the interruption.
Well, hold on just a second. Mm-hmm. And when you just said that, oh, isn't that interesting? That's really reframing your thought process, as opposed to just rolling with it and go, oh, my neck hurts. Oh, my this. Oh, recognizing it. And as the observer, again, like you said, that's a very cool way of looking at things. And I think it probably takes a little bit of practice, because we're so predisposed to.
Absolutely. It definitely takes practice, commitment, consistency, repetition. But once you start getting curious and you start seeing the evidence that you're catching yourself, you're like, oh my God, shit, I did it again. Right. The biggest takeaway is being that catching, correcting it, and just no judgment. Just, isn't that interesting that, you know, this event happened and I'm triggered? You know, you get a phone call and you're like, you start tensing up, right? You see that your friend or somebody that
the old dreaded caller ID.
Yeah. And you watch your body like, oh, or you get a pit in your stomach. You're like, just say, oh my God, isn't that interesting? Right. Why, you know, and then we can dig deeper. So we are, you know, we are the creators of our reality, but we're also the cause of our own suffering, you know, in the same breath. So we want to start looking at that and taking accountability and saying, how have I really been showing up in the world? Right. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. with no judgment, just kind of getting curious and starting to unpack, like, oh, every time this person calls, I get tense, you know, why, you know, what, What's going on? And the, like, when we start digging deep, now I feel like I have three layers, right? The first one is just awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're talking about on these three episodes. We're talking about just being the awareness, being the interruption, and know that within the spirituality, that that's the power within. That we have the power to course correct at any given moment. If we don't like the way things are looking, we can stop and notice and choose, right? A better feeling thought, right? Or a different path. But we're always in our own way. And then the second, you know, here for me is now, how are we going to rewire that? How are we going to rewire our thoughts and our behaviors and our patterns and our emotional addictions and all those things? Then we want to really, once we have the awareness and we're getting good at it, we want to look at the rewiring process.
And which then is essentially habit change, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just, but it's constant catch and correct. Right. No judgment. Just be where your feet are. Be in the present moment. Mindfulness, journaling, right? Getting those thoughts, those negative thoughts out on the paper. Even if you never say what you need to say to those people, those thoughts are not ruminating in your head anymore. It's on the paper. The energy is out of you, onto the paper. Rip it up, throw it away, and move on with your day. Well,
John Mayer says, say what you need to say.
Yeah, well, once we get
that was
there,
one of your songs.
Get the regulation,
right.
we can say what we'll have the power to say what we need to say.
Are you going to sing
because
it?
Because it's coming from a loving place. And when we speak our truth and that we're not blaming and shaming or criticizing, you know, you did this to me. You did this to me. No, it's how I reacted, right? We want to respond to life, not react to life.
That's a key.
So it's a three-step process. For me and my journey, it was a three-step process. First, I needed to be aware. I had to look under the hood. I had to see how I was showing up. Mm-hmm. I had to see where my blocks were, what my expectations were. And when you drop expectations and you drop, you know, judgments, and you say, isn't that interesting? This is what, you know, this is how my body's reacting. These are my thoughts that fire the second, you know, my body gets tensed.
So you have to guard your thoughts and really... Or not even guard them. It almost seems like you have to, like you're saying, I'm going to beat you to the punch, that manage and then rewire the, your way of thinking by doing
and
that.
And I even do a visualization in one of my classes of like you have a bodyguard, right? When we say we put ourselves in the bubble of light, you know, our auric field or whatever. Sometimes we do this visualization of we have this bodyguard that was not allowing those old repetitive thoughts to come in anymore. And, you know, and we call him Raz, and we're like, you know, and just, we just picture this big, you know, brawny guy with like with his arms crossed, and we're like, no, you know, that's not, I'm not available for that anymore, you know? And then it kind of puts the barrier up and you're like, okay, cool. I got Raz. He's not going to let those in. And then, which is funny because I practice everything that I teach and I really do. I'm starting to have fun with it. I'm not going to say
that's
it was
cool.
easy, you know, but sometimes I'll yell at Raz and I'm like, you let that in. Like you let that slip by, right? But I catch it and then I'm like, yeah, I don't have to, I'm not available for that. And that's,
well, that's a tough part, right? Because, and that's kind of what I was getting at. I guess I see it is it's easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. I always screw that up, but it's simple, but it's not easy. And the catch and correct part of that is, I think, really important. And it's probably a situation where the sooner that you catch it and correct it, it eventually, and probably sooner than we may even realize, becomes part of our DNA or our fabric of how I don't even want to say react, but accept or live that situation.
Yes. And just remember, you have to have grace, you know, compassion and grace with yourself when you get caught in those thought loops. And then now that you gave it energy and there's emotion behind it, and now you're stressed and pissed off and anger and rage and all those things are started coming up. And then you catch and correct, you'd be like, oh, shit, I missed that one. Have grace and compassion, right?
Because you're still human.
Yeah, we're always going to be human. And the thing is it takes 21 days to create a habit, right? So if you commit for 21 days and just say, you know what, I'm going to try for 21 days to catch and correct every single time I have a, you know, a negative thought, or I start seeing my emotional addictions, or I start seeing my patterns and behaviors with no judgment. Just, isn't that interesting? And then go on with your day. So you can start flowing through your days and start, you know, every time you're hitting that roadblock, you just kind of bypass it. You're like, oh, okay, I don't have to deal with that. And then move forward. Because thoughts are really just opinions. They're not facts.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's what you always have to remember. Like when you have these repetitive thoughts, I'm like, that's just your opinion, but it's not a fact. So I don't have to believe that thought. It's just our old programming and our old, you know, automatic and our old habits that just come right to the forefront and we believe it as truth.
You know, there's, you said the 21 day thing for establishing a habit or a pattern. There's been some recent studies that came out that say that that's different from person to person, that some people can get it 14 to 21 days. And some people it takes 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. It depends, I suppose, on how deeply embedded or ingrained that habit is in your brain.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, 100%, because I don't want to scare everybody, but it took me about 6 years to really reprogram, you know, and be where I am now. You know, I'm still human. Life is still going to happen, you know, around me. But now I can honestly sit here and tell you that I know that it's, I'm going to respond to it differently. So when all the crappy stuff is happening around me and all the overwhelm and how, you know, the busyness and who's going where and what's, you know, how life is unfolding, I'm not going to react to it the way I used to. I'm not going to want to crawl in a hole and say, oh my God, I can't deal with this. I'm so overwhelmed that, you know, where do I start? You know, procrastinate and do. Now I'm my automatic has become different, you know, and I'm not saying it took, you know, it took 6 years, but it took the commitment and the consistency and the repetition to want something different.
Sure.
To want to show up different. And that's when I discovered the, you know, awareness comes first. So we want to spend a couple months, even a year or so, you know, just working on awareness. And then we're going to move into rewiring. And then we're going to move into reprogramming. What's your new automatic? What do you want to see show up in your world? And then we get, now you can manifest, right? Now you can step in the world of manifestation and all those, you know, wonderful things. Because when we're in the middle of the storm, it's hard to get out, right?
Right, right.
But we just really, you know, what I love is just always bringing back to coming out of the spiritual closet is just knowing that we hold so much power and so much control over our what goes on internally, but we spend so much time trying to control the outside.
Externally, right.
You know, and that's where we get tripped up is because we have no control on what goes on in our external circumstances. The only the only control is how we show up.
100%. And you know what's interesting? There's I don't know if it was Tony Robbins or I'm sure he borrowed the where your focus or where your thoughts go, your energy flows. Mm-hmm. You know, he was talking about that. And I think what ends up happening when you're talking about those things is our focus goes where I don't want to say shouldn't. I don't want to shoot on anybody. But it goes where it doesn't need to go, mm-hmm. right? What we try to control are the things we can't control. That's ultimately what ends up happening, and that's where all the frustration and the craziness comes, and that's when things really start to bubble up, is because we don't have control over it, and we want control over it. So, to simplify everything, you can control a couple of things. If you're really looking to be that master of control, you can control two things. And those two things, Irene, are how you show up.
Oh, okay.
No, that's yeah, you. I'm pointing. You.
Mm-hmm.
The two things that you just said were showing up and how you react.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so you know, we can always do this part for another show, but just a little tidbit of information is that we live by, humans live by survival contexts, right? Because our humanness and our solar plexus and our ego, their job is to help us stay alive, right? So part of the brain is we live by the need to be right. We need to be in control, our need for safety, right? And belonging. So we want those four survival contexts is how usually we operate. Usually one or two are more dominant, but the majority, we want to be right, right? We want to be in control. We want to be safe, right? And we want to be loved and have belonging. So when we're living out of those survival contexts, we kind of look into the stories we're creating around it. We're looking for the payoffs, what we get for believing that right. story, and then what prices we're paying for it. So that's a really good exercise to start, looking into when you start doing the work. And I'm happy to help anyone guide them through that.
Excellent. So let's talk a little bit about energy or vibration and frequency. I know we didn't really touch on diet, right, in our discussions, but there are many who suggest that eating a certain way, such as vegan or vegetarian, is helpful in all of this as well. But I'm a firm believer in the following. I'm a firm believer in your diet just isn't what you consume physically. It's also what you consume mentally or emotionally. Like watching the news, social media, the people you associate yourself with at work or in your personal life, that all feeds in. That's all part of your diet. That's all part of your human existence and diet.
That you consume.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And we were talking about guarding your thoughts. I think we also have to guard our emotions, our energies, our frequencies, because we've all heard the term energy vampire, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many people have, gone into a room or a situation and they're full of energy and they see that one person, the energy vampire, and the next thing you know, you leave that physical surrounding or that situation. And you're exhausted. I mean, yeah. You are exhausted, ready to take a nap or something because somebody just sucked the freaking life out of you. Yeah. If you know what I'm talking about, yeah, right? I'm sure you've been around those
people.
And
especially with empaths, it's very hard. And right. That's when you surround, ground, and protect your energy. And when you start doing it as a mindfulness practice and you do the spiritual shower, washing the gray and negativity right. off you, watch it go down the drain, put yourself in that bubble of light so that when you know, even when you just leave the house, you do it as a daily practice. And that so you have that energetic wall that they can't penetrate.
You know, that's something important that you just said too, because I think it happens times 10, there's an exponential impact on somebody, especially if they're an empath, when you go out into a crowd, because all of a sudden, let's say you go to a ball game and you're walking in and you're really happy about going into this, you see a ball game with your family or friends or what have you. And the next thing you know, it's all these frustrations are bubbling up and you're reacting to things like you wouldn't normally react to them with, you're angry or, you bumped into me, I'm going to bump into you. One of those,
right.
Those deals.
I've been in those situations.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of that. So that's when I think intention, when you start your day or you go someplace, there's an intention that you should, again, with the shooting on people, there's an intention I think would be beneficial for people to go into those situations with and the surround ground protect or surround ground and shield, whatever you want to say, is a great way to go into that for that reason. And then you go with the whole thing that we were just talking about. Well, isn't that interesting that that person chose to react that way? Isn't that interesting? I didn't react to that. Oh, why is that bothering me? You know, because somebody just bumped into me. It's something that innocuous that can set people off when they're in that, let's say, negative frequency. Right.
Right.
And that's where the old birds of a feather flock together.
Yeah.
Thing comes in too. It seems like frequency and energies are magnets for one another.
Oh, absolutely. Right? Like attracts like, right? You know, that's always, you know, what we put out is what we get more of. And we're saying like, why can't I get out of this loop? But, you know, the people that come in and out of your, you know, energetic space is all energetic. You know, we're attracting that. And that's where the phrase comes, as, you know, as within, so without. So if we're in lack and victimhood and, you know, negativity, we're just attracting more of that. You know, but then when we have the awareness that everyone's operating from their own survival context, which I just said, being in control, you know, being right, you know, being loved and being, what was that? I lost the other one. Whatever. When we start realizing
we're safe and
safe, right. Yeah. Thank you. When we start realizing, and I'm like, and we're having a conversation and you're getting heated and you're getting, you know, I'm trying to, you know, really deeply listen to what you have to say. And I'm like, oh, he's operating from survival. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, now I don't have to react and come at you. I just can absorb what you're saying and deeply listen and say, you know, you sound very upset. You know, this sounds, you know, so it's not about us, right?
You're
projecting, everyone's projecting their shit onto you. You
know,
so when you have that awareness and you're like, oh shit, you're projecting that onto me, but it's not yours. But what happens where we want to be the interruption is we don't want to make it mean anything about ourselves, right? It's just what your experience.
That's a hard thing to do sometimes.
It's what we do as humans. But then when you do this self-awareness stuff and you really dive deep into it, you realize that we can't take anything personally. And we're meaning-making machines, and we make everything mean something about us. So you come in from a hard day's of work and you're cranky and you're, you know, you're hungry and you want some, and you're going to snap at your kids or you're going to say something smart. And when you're, that person could just be like, oh, okay. Clearly, in this moment right now, there's something going on within him. I don't have to make it mean anything about me.
Well, it's never me. It's always you.
Exactly.
You don't know that.
Right? Because the need to be in control. The need to be right.
And right. People,
People would just show up the way I want them to show up, then my life would be amazing.
Right?
But people can't. This is the crux of why we create our own suffering. Because if we just had a partner that was, understanding, or, you know, we come up with these stories, like if they would just be more loving, if they would just, you know, give me my freedom, whatever the case may be. But what we have to understand, and this is why I used to get twisted about self-love. I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Get my hair done, my nails done. That's self-love. I was missing the point.
I thought you were going someplace else. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I was missing the point. Because what
this is not that kind of show.
Yeah. What really it is so important for awareness and really giving that love to ourselves is because no one can love you. They can only love you to the degree that they love themselves. Okay, so if you have internal turmoil and you have all this stuff swirling around and we have no awareness that we are operating from safety, control, we're operating from all these survival contexts, you're blocking the love that I'm trying to send, right? The love that I'm trying to give. And then what happens?
Right.
We turn around and we make it mean something about us, that I'm not worthy, I'm not, you know, lovable, I'm not this, I'm not that. So we are always looking for acceptance, approval, and love outside ourselves. Always. But we never, how come, and most people aren't really satisfied? right? We're never going to fully get the acceptance from your parents or your boss or your, you know, your family. You're never going to get the approval. We're always asking permission. Why? Why are we going to have to get validated for somebody outside ourselves? Because then we make it mean something about us that we're not good enough, right? And then love. If you can't, if you have all this turmoil going on inside you, how are you supposed to receive the love that I will want to give? Right. And you'll never be able to give it back. Right. So our job really is to just love ourselves, like the love within ourselves, and give ourselves acceptance and give ourselves permission is where we really want to have a solid stance. And that comes with reprogramming or rewiring, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where the rewiring, portion of the self-development is going to come in. Because like attracts like, and we're always on this hamster wheel. And why can't we get off it? Because we're signaling out to the universe, we're in lack, we're in victimhood, we want, we need.
And then we're undeserving. We don't deserve to get off this.
And then
we
the universe is only giving us back lack, wanting, and needing.
Right.
So standing in that power of self-love, like it feels so good. Like, you know, I think we were having this conversation last night. Like, it feels so good now that my body is in top physical condition. And we were laughing because I was even if my knee hurts, even if my shoulders help me, right? But we have to signal out to the universe, like, it feels so great that I am like in optimal health. Because our daily conversations is, I woke up with a crick in my neck. Oh, I woke up with my knees killing me. You know, we're having these conversations, whether they're out loud or internal, the universe is picking up on it because it's all energy.
Yeah. You know what? And I was thinking a little bit about that too, because there's obviously a difference between acute pain and chronic pain. You know, acute pain occurs when there's an injury, chronic pain.
Right.
There's a lot of thought about chronic pain that it stems from somewhere, from an emotion somewhere that needs a trauma that occurred that needs some healing.
Right.
There's, you know, from a chronic pain standpoint, there's a lot of research and studies that are showing that more and more. And it's so crazy to even say that, but there are. And I want to go back a second. When you were talking about, or we were talking about the lack and undeserving and all of those negative things that prevent us from living, I guess, a fulfilled or happy life, that seems to me to be a definition of hell. I mean, you are quite literally torturing yourself every day when you do something like that. Mm-hmm. What a shitty fucking existence that is to be stuck in that. And
that's why if you look at it, most of us, pretty much all of us, are always living in fear, worry, and doubt. You know, worrying about the future, regretting the past, right? We're always like, you know, on the move. We're always like bobbing and weaving through life. Like, oh my God, I survived today. You know, what do
Why
I have to
Why is that
done?
Though?
It's just the 3D human experience. This is what we've been taught and programmed to believe. You know, even when you said like, you know, about the television, what you consume, right? The media is always about fear. Like even growing up as a child, I'm like, why is it they never have like a happy story, on the news? It's always like a special segment. If somebody does something wrong. Yeah. I mean, right. Like if it's a good Samaritan or somebody say, it's like a special segment, but the whole hour news channel is all doom and gloom. Right. Yeah. So we're constantly living in fear and lack and worry and, oh my God, where's this world going to? And how are we, you know, but right here, right now, if you took a few deep breaths, you looked at your feet and you said, be here now, right? Right now, is everything okay? Yes, it's okay. Are you safe? Yes, you're safe. Right. But why do we, you know, what we consume is just swirling around us in our energetic field, just constantly throwing data at us that, you know, the world's coming to an end.
Negativity.
But we're in survival all the time. which leads back to our nervous systems.
Correct.
Constantly, you know, thinking we're being chased by a bear, and we can't get out of that negative loop.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, or that's the big reason, Jen Weigel said that she couldn't take being in that business anymore, is that it's, you know, death and dismemberment. Now back to you, Bob. You know, one of those things. Seriously, though.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about, I don't know how it couldn't weigh on a person and start to impact a person. And,
you know, and it does. And that's where you want to check in with yourself, because I remember, you know, being in a nurse and being on the floor, and you'd have 12 patients, you know, and you would be going from one patient to the other, to the other. And after a 12-hour shift, I remember walking down the city streets and just being in such gratitude. And I was like, I am so grateful that my family members or myself are not in that moment right now. And then, yes, maybe at some point in time, we're all going to get there. We're all going to have a health crisis. We're all going to be by the bedside at a family member that we love. But right now in this moment, I am in just a state of gratitude. And then, you know, and then get up and do it again. And then I would come home and my husband would say something was going on at work, like super crazy. And at the time he was had a contract and his boss was flipping out about the grass being overgrown and some TV cameras were going to be there or whatever. And I was like, this guy's flipping out over grass being cut, you know, while I'm in the, you know, in the hospital watching people witness their worst days. You know what I mean? And the ended days. And this guy's like, the grass is overgrown. So it puts things into perspective. But you always have to. One thing that I practice sometimes now when I get twisted and I get, you know, because I am human, and I say, if I had 4 hours left to live on this earth, would I be worrying about this?
No, you'd be talking to me.
Exactly. This is my last podcast so that I can just get it out, right?
That's right. I got to get all this shit out now.
Yeah, I can leave this with all of you. So just, it's all about perspective. It's all about, and yes, shitty things are going to happen. Life is going to happen, but we get to choose how we want to show up. You know, are we going to believe it? Are we going to shrink down? Are we going to feel that fear is an illusion, right? We create our own stories. You know, they project it out onto us, but do we have to, you know, fall for it? And, you know, that's how I've been trying to live my new automatic life. You know, those my defaults. Like, you know, when things happen, I'm like, if I had 4 hours left to live, I'm not going to worry about this shit.
Yeah. No, you know? No, you don't. And that's an important thing. Perspective. What's the perception is reality. If that's your perception, then it's real. But perspective is really what we're talking about here. So I'm going to jump back when you were talking about the central nervous system. Sure. So we talk about, the sympathetic nervous system is basically what you're talking about as being in all the time with the news and the this and the that and the negativity and fight or flight mechanism. And when you said that, it was all of a sudden this light bulb went on in my brain. Granted, it was probably like a Christmas tree light, but
a flicker.
Yeah. Can't quite get it lit. What went on through my mind is it any wonder that Americans deal with obesity in some epic proportion? You talk about the pandemic, something that is like that catastrophic to our society. It's just, obesity is too.
Yeah.
And not to get too far into that, but that's where the parasympathetic nervous system helps and kicks in. And that's the rest, recharge, rejuvenate, helps with digestion and everything else, metabolism. So all of a sudden, like I said, it just hit me like, no shit. We're glued to the television sets watching somebody's house burn down to the ground and the poor woman's two children died in that. And we're okay. Next. And we're just, it's just like you're sitting there with a bowl of cereal eating it.
Yes.
And more and more and more and more. And it's just like, what is going on?
I'm so desensitized to it.
Yes.
You can have two reactions. You're just numbed out and desensitized to it, or you can go into a state of panic and fear. You know, that's going to happen right. to me. I know, you know, the doom and gloom to yourself. And you just triggered a story for me when my daughter was in middle school and they were having the Sandy Hook.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah.
School shootings, or maybe it was Florida. I don't remember which one. And she was panicking on the bus because they were showing the videos, right? They were showing, oh, and God. She's like, turn it off. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Now, my son plays video games 24/7. He's like, blah, 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 blah. You know, there's so
many Grand Theft Auto.
To, yeah.
I got to pick up my whore.
So, but when you see, as you know, what's going on TV, but that's real. It's not a video game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like it's no big deal. But then someone like my daughter who doesn't play video games, she was like, I can't see that. You know, she yeah. wanted to shut it down. But what struck me was the kids and society, right? Even on the streets of Manhattan, when you see the news, something crazy is going on, right? Because, you know, there's an accident. There's someone dismembered. There's a, you know, a teacher laying on the floor with shattered glass. And I would think to take out my phone and videotape it. Like,
right.
like, is that how, like, is this just a good video shot to put on my Instagram? Like, I don't understand the mentality of the, you know, the people that just think that's their automatic. Like, this is going to be
right.
a deal for later. Like,
100%.
This is somebody's life. This is something that's going on. There's a robbery. There's this or whatever.
It happens like, all the time, like, though, for God's sake.
Right? I follow, like, what's going on in Manhattan, and usually most of the posts are some wild stuff. And then they just
videotape, you know, that shit.
Videotape it. No one's running to the rescue to help.
Yeah, somebody's, you know what? Yeah, so that was going on in Chicago. There's a couple of things that have been going on, and I don't know if it reaches you or not, but they have these mobs of people, young people, coming out in the evenings, and they're surrounding cars, and sometimes they'll attack people just trying to get home or trying to get to the L or something like that, and somebody takes out their camera and starts videotaping them getting stomped and beat to shit. And what is that?
It blows my mind. It really does. And that's why I think we need to get back and real human beings back in, right? And we want
100%.
To take back control of, you know, being a good human. And really it starts within, right? It starts within. We're so desensitized and weighed down by, like you said, everything that we consume. Everything's instant gratification. Everyone's like, you know, if you don't text, if somebody texts you and you don't text them back in the next 30 seconds, like, where were you? You were ignoring me, you know? And we just have to start simplifying things. You know, COVID was a good thing to taught us all how to, like, kind of let go of all the
reset a little bit.
And not have to be on overdrive. But now we're kind of back up and running again, and it's a little crazy out there.
It seems like we're trying to make up for lost time.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and we that's what
reel in the reins.
Yeah. So one of the other things that is going on in the Chicagoland area, there was, I don't know if you hear about this or not, but there was a woman that went on a yoga retreat in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And is missing.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about
that. You see that? Mm-hmm. A transgender woman missing. And the only reason I say transgender, and there's two. She's African-American and she's transgender. And her mother believes that that's two of the reasons that she's meeting such resistance with the police or the authorities. Is, where is she? What's going on? I can't get in touch with anybody. So. One of the comments that I heard recently was, they were going to do a press conference today to bring more awareness to the situation and hopefully get some assistance. Mm-hmm. And it was what do you mean more awareness? It's on the news every day. Enough is enough. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second. If that were my daughter, there would not be enough. There's never enough until you get the answers and you get the assistance you need.
Right.
So talk about being desensitized. All right, enough of this already. I'm like, okay, I can understand if it's enough of this already, if it's too much, it's emotional overload, but
put yourself in that person's shoes, right?
Correct.
You
correct.
Know what I mean? Yeah.
It's not a bother. It by God, you there isn't enough you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I
people are missing the point, you know, people are, bit. You know, they're, yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. We really like get on with our day. I just want to see how the stocks did today and, you know, where I'm going for dinner. Yeah. There is a lot of desensitization because it's in our face all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're like, just another person, just another person.
Just another guy.
That person is a human being. That person is loved and have a family and people that, you know, wanna go find them. And everyone else is like on to the next. And life does go on, you know what I mean? And even after we lose people that we love, you know what I mean? It takes a while to go through that, you know, that stress and that grief process or whatever. And then eventually you have to find your new normal. But it's amazing how we just have to just pick and choose what we're gonna allow into our space and then what we're gonna advocate for, right?
So let's talk the opposite, because obviously if there's one end of the spectrum, there's another end of the spectrum, and that's the positivity perspective. What do we do for that? What are some ways of raising our frequency as it relates to that, getting more positive energy, more positive vibes and frequency?
So just like I said, like attracts like, right? And the negativity, right, drips cortisol in our internal pharmacy. It's is as addicting as, you know, nicotine. So it's we're always, you know, that's why we like the negative. Same thing goes for positivity, right? So, but our automatic is always, it's familiar to go back into the negative, right? Desensitize ourselves and be in that space. So when you want to shift your frequency and you want to get into positivity, there's three things that I feel like that have become my pattern. One is building new community, right? Finding like-minded people that you enjoy having deep, meaningful conversations with. We're not just scratching the surface of, the news and what's going on in the world. We really want to, you know, talk about, like, on this platform that we're talking about, you know, self-awareness and really kind of shining the light on what we haven't seen. And music, like this is the best podcast for your playlist to raise your frequency, is just finding music. And it's very selective or subjective, because you really
for sure it is.
What lights you up may not light me up, you know, and when you're going through music, you'd be like, oh, this isn't really, you know, the frequency I want to be on. And to really just do that as part of your self-care, like listening to music, dancing around your kitchen like nobody's watching, right? Like, make that part of your daily routine, as far as when you're cooking dinner and you're really just put some music on, you know, and kind of, you know, raise your vibration. Finding community, like I said, is go do the things that light you up. Go, you know, find the things that you know, places and spaces that are like-minded people. And really it gets boring, but just going within, being in the present moment, right? Peace and you know, filling yourself up, which is healthy selfishness, is going to raise your vibration. And then like attracts like, so that what happens is, if I'm there, then I'm going to attract people that are on that same frequency, which is building more community, right? Is building more of a network of people, and it becomes contagious, right? Yeah. So just in the world of coaching, the amazing men and women I've met along the way, you know, and then I have such, you know, anchored friendships with, you know, and I love my friends dearly, you know, but I also, when I hang out, I'm like, oh, we're still talking about this stuff. right? Where I'm like, this shit.
15 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, good to see everybody, and I'll catch you next time. You know, and then I, you know, and
great catching up.
It's interesting how the shift happens, and you know, you really just want, you get addicted to the positivity, and you get addicted. And sometimes I get the pushback, like, not everybody's light and love, but it can be, you know, it can be, because you're just not there yet, you know, and that's okay. I'm not judging. When you're ready, give me a buzz, you know what I mean? And then we're going to hang out, we're going to have fun, we're going to laugh, we're gonna be stupid. We're going to, you know what I mean?
Stupid.
But that's who I am, right? I'm not always like super serious and, you know, sitting on a cushion. You know,
I see Jesus with wings and a concert t-shirt in the front row getting hammered.
And I love to have fun. You know what I mean? I love to have a good time. And you and I, we can laugh our asses off. But like, that's how it shifts, you know? And it's, and we have to let everyone else off the hook. And then we got to let ourselves off the hook.
Yeah. The big deal
really
right there.
Just be like, I got one shot. This is one life. I'm going around this world, you know, this time around, and I want to make the best of it.
That's cool.
In an ideal world, right? But with the commitment, consistency, and repetition, with awareness, rewiring, and reprogramming, we can get there. And if I wasn't a true testament of getting there, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Right. No, 100%.
You know,
no, I get that. Yeah.
That's why I'm so passionate about this, is because I took myself through the work. Then I became certified, you know, as a practitioner to do the work.
Certified or certifiable.
Yeah. And maybe.
You're certifiable. I said certified or certifiable. Yeah.
And
you
and
said,
I am
a little
certifiable. Absolutely. Yeah. But like, that this is my path, and this is where my passions are going, and this is what's leading me into positivity, and hopefully that's dripping on my children and my, you know, my family, and, you know, getting them through the grief of losing my brother and my nephew. Yeah. Like, you know, just those, you know, life is still going to happen, but let's roll through it with a little bit more ease. Right. And instead of it bringing us to our knees where I was 6 years ago.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
And I get it. You know, I want to touch on one last thing, and then we're going to hop into our musical segment. One of the things that I was reading recently, I'm sure everybody has that friend that whenever you talk to him, it's like, oh, after, again, the energy vampire. Well, how are things going? Well, you know, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. And then they go through the laundry list of bullshit that's going on in their life. Well, how are you doing? Enough about me. And you go, I'm great.
Yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of people feel that they shouldn't tell someone how they're really feeling. If they're feeling great, you know, I don't want to pile on by saying that I'm doing great. I love my job. My relationship's great. My kids are great. You don't want to do that. But I think it's just the opposite. I think just the opposite needs to occur there, because that's an opportunity for you to let somebody know it doesn't always have to be that way.
Yes.
It can be this way.
Yes.
It can be fun. It can be exciting. It can be enjoyable, energetic, energized. Mm-hmm. And it's a very cool thing, because that frequency, that vibe can come out through this right now. It can come out over the phone. You can be excited about something, and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to have fun. It's okay to laugh at yourself. Mm-hmm. Laughter is one of the fastest ways to raise your frequency, to elevate your frequency.
Yeah.
It's one of the best medicines that you can think of is laughter. And one of the one of our next guests is going to be Dr. Julie Foster, and she is an MD, by the way. Mm-hmm. Talks about laughter being one of the best medicines you can have. And you've talked about it too, where we're our own pharmacy, you know, that we have that ability. I just think it's wonderful. And for those that can see what's going on, I have my Dale and Brennan stepbrothers coffee mug. And that's one of those movies that if I'm up in the middle of the night or something like that, and I just need a little recalibration or elevation, I turn that on and I am good.
Yeah.
I'm totally good because I just start laughing. And doesn't matter how many times I see it, I enjoy it.
Right, right.
It just raises that frequency.
I always love that uncontrollable laughter where I'm big on TV commercials that just are funny and they crack me up. And then sometimes I'm just laughing. Three commercials later, I'm still laughing over that moment. Or when you just get that uncontrollable looking at a friend and you're just dying inside and you're just like, you can't breathe. You like have to like privately hold in the laughter because you're in church.
I can't. I can't, which is the...
Those are the best moments, though. Right. It is the best. Sometimes it's draining because
to try to hold it in is just like.
But it's, it really is. And we have to stop taking ourselves so seriously and life so seriously and know that we're stuck in this vortex of, spinning on. And this is normal for everyone. This is what life has become, And you're right. People, taught to be able to share the good things in your life because you're bragging or you're conceited or you're showing off or you're putting salt in my wounds, right? So we're taught, don't do that. That's not good. So we can only find good little moments when, people are vibing together that share our wins.
Yeah. And I get to tell you, just the opposite.
Society. We really have to start making that shift.
I agree. Celebrate the small victories with one another and laugh for crying out loud. So speaking of new commercial or commercial that made me laugh this morning was talking about the new Deadpool and Wolverine movie. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman together are very funny.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the new movie to come out. But anyway, so as anyone can tell you that's listened to the podcast before, this next section is when I ask the guests some musical questions. And this is pillar four of our show. And as I mention regularly, music is the tie that binds. And I believe everyone has a soundtrack that accompanies their life if they just take a moment to think about it. And today we have some different questions. We're not going to run through 10 or anything like that, but we have some different musical questions that kind of relate with what we've been talking about. So, are you ready to go through the questions?
I am. I always get nervous at this point because you always jump me and then I'm trying to pull up in my, the DJ booth of my head. I feel like that. Hit me with it. Let's see what we got.
Wham. What are some songs or music that give you the courage to take the next step with something?
The courage to take the next step. Since I have four kids, I listen to a lot of different kinds of music. And I know sometimes it's, like I said, it's very subjective to what's going to be uplifting or not, or motivational. Mm-hmm. But there's three artists that I feel like a lot of times really, nail it. And that's Christina Aguilera. I think Kelly Clarkson, obviously Pink. I love her to death.
You love Pink,
And Katy Perry. And those songs now, if I can remember, is What Doesn't Kill Us Make You Stronger, right? I think of Kelly Clarkson. What doesn't kill us make us stronger.
That's a cool song.
That's a really, just a reminder that we can get through anything. It's not going to kill. We're going to survive, 99.9% of our days, so this is all happening, to me, for me, not to me.
Right.
That's a good reminder. And Christina Aguilera, I love that Fighter song. I think she's like, thank you for making me a fighter, right? So everybody's doing their job, right? Perfectly. if you think about it. Everyone that's, you know, triggering us is pushing us more to self-love, right? Pushing us more into awareness of, you know, standing up for yourself and the power within yourself. So I love that song, Fighter, is a great one for me anyway. And Roar, you know,
Katy Perry's Roar.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Or is that Eye of the Tiger? I don't know.
Eye of the Tiger, that's a Survivor, but Katy Perry, Roar. That's a good song.
You're going to hear me roar, right? You're going to hear me roar. Because it's like, you know what? And it's not about anger. You're going to see how powerful I am, right? I'm going to stand in my own strength. I'm going to stand in my own conviction, my own truth, right? You're going to see me roar. And that's what I, you know, when I listen to that, it's on some playlist that I have. And I love just kind of, it puts me into a better vibration. It puts me into more self-empowering vibration than it is playing small, you know. And
the Katy Perry song that I remember most, and have you ever seen the movie Interview? The Interview?
I don't know. Tell me about it.
It's Skyler is the guy's name. No, it's his character's name, and he ends up, he's like a TMZ or an E interviewer type of person. And in one of the scenes he had Eminem on there, and he's just got his finger on it. So you're talking about, he goes, Eminem goes, yeah, I'm gay. I like men. He goes, oh, and he like blew past it. And he was like, hey, he just said that. But anyway, but
I missed that.
Here's the thing that was it was about interviewing Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
And Fireworks happened to be one of the songs. And Kim Jong-un, and I'm drawing a blank on the actor. And he's just freaking hilarious. And she's having my baby. Who's the guy that was the curly headed guy, comedian? He was in that Barbra Streisand movie. I forgot his name. Gosh, I know everybody in the audience is going to go, it's so and so, you idiot. But anyway,
it'll come back. Yeah.
I just derailed us. Sorry.
That's okay.
So the song, we're talking about courage to take the next step with something. You and I were talking a little bit about this last night, and I got on a Disney theme with that. And there's a song that's really cool called Go the Distance, and that's from Hercules. And that's really, really cool. I will put that on the playlist, so please don't give me crap about it. It's a cool song.
Well, you know what?
Listen. I used to sing it to my son.
Yeah. And the Phil Collins, cool. You'll Be in My Heart. Disney had amazing. Yep. If you want to listen to messages, right? You want to listen to messages, and we go back to angel messages that, you know, come to us in songs and music. Disney has great messages that come through there.
They've got
of all songs that resonate with you. And that will put you, that will change your frequency into a more open and compassionate and loving space. You know, it's always, you know, kind of the notes and the melodies are always very soothing and very loving and motivating, right? Like you said, the one from Hercules, very like upbeat and motivating. And that's important for you to dance like nobody's watching, you know, to find your personal playlist and really just hone into that. If you, you know, when you do your morning, you know, routines and just put on, I always do that. I put on my morning playlist and it just gives me the motivation to get started, you know, even no matter what it looks like outside.
Right.
And, you know, and then you get into those ones that you really love. Like, I think I was talking to you and I said, you're going to put it on the playlist. I never heard it before. It was by James Lacey called Little Wonders.
Right.
And now I play it on repeat. It's like, it's just such a beautiful song. And it's just like this, it just puts everything right into perspective. These little wonders, right? They're just, you know,
it's cool.
This is a cool tune. Time, you know, this is the time of your life just to be in the moment. And I love that. So
excellent.
Spotify is amazing.
We don't it really is. With
our tape recorders and wait for the song to come on and press record, right? Now you just go on Spotify, you look up anything and You can have a blast.
Love it. Love it. Okay. So we're going to go on to question two, which is what music raises your frequency?
Okay. Well, I think we just kind of covered that, you know?
We did. And some of that. I know there were a couple of other songs that you talked about that. What was the one with the Barbara Streisand in?
Oh, okay. So Jim.
Or is that your scream?
No, that's not my. Well, it could be a scream. But so there's, for the women out there, and sorry, men, because you're going to listen to this and be like, you guys are crazy. But when you're going through a heartbreak or a divorce or like a, you know, being like, I don't know, talked down and squashed down and you feel like you can't get up, right? You feel like you're just, you know, in that spot and that you've given all your power to your partner or whatever. And there's disappointment and heartbreak. Girlfriends, we always used to do that. There's that Barbara Streisand and Donna Summer song, Enough is Enough, right? No More Tears. And it just starts off like so sad and like meek and whatever. And then all of a sudden the frequency of the music starts changing and the tempo starts going and it's like, enough is enough, right? And I got to let go and get the hell out, right? And then by the end of the song, you're like, fuck this, I'm good. You can start it. That's how it could change your frequency. Like you're so small and you're so sad and you're in this little bleh, and then you listen to this song and watch it progress to, I have all the power, right? And I'm letting it go. And then to reel it into a more updated song is, I always teach the girls, you know, in my teens class or whatever, is I Miss Me More by Elsie Ballerini.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she's adorable. And it's a great song. I Miss Me More. She's like, I gave it all to you, right? I couldn't wear my high heel shoes because I could have been taller than you. Like it's very catchy and it's very upbeat or whatever. And it's like how she lost her independence because she gave it to you, right? But she misses herself.
I'm going to have to put a male warning on this.
Yes, male warning.
Playlist.
Sorry, guys.
Sure. Faux show.
Yeah. But on the flip side, I'll give one to the guys. Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Oh, that's it.
By me.
That's a good one.
Right. So when those guys couldn't take it any longer, God, that was crazy.
So that's a great song. I mean, nobody's brought up Meatloaf yet. 18 episodes.
I saw him out in Long Island one time. We just went into a bar by accident. A bunch of friends. We were in our like 20s or 30s. I think it was in our 30s. And we walked in and he was playing just random. Like it was no like big tickets or whatever. We just went to this bar out east and he was there. And I was like, wow. He's great.
That's very cool.
I haven't heard. I don't even know if he's still alive, actually.
No, he is not.
He's not?
Nope. He's passed.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful.
You see if you can channel his ass.
Yeah, maybe.
Get him on this show. You ain't doing nothing, Meatloaf. get over here.
That's for the guys, you know.
You're just going to call me an idiot. You're an idiot. You double clutch on that. You're an idiot.
So definitely those. Put on something that's going to shift your frequency. If you're, you know, notice where you're at and then just find that song that's just going to raise it and then stay there, you know. And that's what it's so, you know, you had sent me that video of Frequency on Sand. They had those metal.
That was so cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, that, you know, they had like a metal plate and then they put sand on it and then they started tapping it with frequency and it would make all these beautiful shapes. And it's really something to get curious about.
That was really cool. Yeah. They did it with one was with a, like a cello bow. Mm-hmm. Two and it, holy crap, was that cool. So the last question, what's your scream song to get that shit out?
scream song.
I shared mine with you yesterday.
I know. Yeah, and I think we both agree, Fuck You by
CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green.
That's right. Yeah. Good old CeeLo Green.
You really just want to like...
And fuck you too. I love that song.
Because, you know, when that song first came out, it was like, finally, I can just walk around singing fuck you, right? Fuck
you. Yeah, not on the radio, though.
Right? Because it's just... That's just...
Forget you.
Amazing.
You know,
just to... You want to let that shit out, like journaling, right? And I tell you, that's the feeling that you're going to get when you journal. When you journal all that shit out and you get all that negativity and the bullshit.
Man, I really hate your ass right now.
Exactly. And we're human, so you're allowed, yes. Right? We're taught to wash it down. You shouldn't have those feelings. You shouldn't get pissed off. And not everything is love and light. We're emotions. All emotions are beautiful. The anger, the rage, the frustration or whatever. Because if we always felt love and light all the time, it'd be boring, right? We want that. You know, we want to feel that. So when you put on that song, you're like, fuck you, you know? That-
I'm sure. So I was driving the other day, I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but Irene knows I have an old Corvette. It's like 40 years old, exactly, a 1984, and it doesn't have air conditioning or anything. It's not a super ride, so I always have to have the top off. Otherwise, I'm just like I'm like Frosty the Snowman in the front seat. Otherwise. But so I was listening to Fuck You by CeeLo Green, and I had that cranked up. I was just like, oh, I love this song.
Yeah, yeah.
I just love this song.
I think everyone today should just download it on Spotify and just play
it. Oh, yeah.
In a while.
It'll be in the playlist for you for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, it's just about time to cue the music for today's episode, but don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the Drop the Needle podcast to stay up to date on our latest episodes. I'd also like to take a moment to thank everyone for tuning in today, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Drop the Needle podcast. I'd also like to thank our special guest, Ms. Irene Doresti, for being on our show today. But here's something new for all of you. Irene has agreed to be a regular guest on the show, which is awesome. And we're working out some details right now, but you can expect to see and hear Irene with us as we move forward. You can also get in touch with her through her website, which is www.soulsurgerylifecoaching.com. Again, that's www.soulsurgerylifecoaching.com. Irene's programs are offered as individual or one-on-one sessions, as well as group settings, workshops, and speaking events. And I invite you to head over to our show notes, where there's a link to the playlist from today's episode. And as a big surprise and a bonus, there will also be a link for you to contact us to gain access to our exclusive toolkit. I should say toolkits for this episode. The toolkits are a sampling of how to start down this new path we've uncovered. If you want to learn more or take a deeper dive into these things, please email us at info@dtnpodcast.com or jim@dtnpodcast.com. Again, that's info@dtnpodcast.com or jim@dtnpodcast.com. And I promise to pass the information along to Irene, or you can again get in touch with her on her website. A quick reminder that the episodes are going to be back to every other week. That'll be our regular rotation, unless there's another special series that we think y'all need to get something out of, okay? All right, my Drop the Needle posse, like Billy Joel says, from the highs to the lows to the end of the show, this is the end of our show. Until next time, this is Jim Allstott wishing you infinite health and happiness and the perfect playlist for your life. Thank you again for being the best part of us. Catch you next time. Peace.